And law and faith are contrary to each other, opposite to each other. Whereas the law says you've got to live by keeping this, grace says you shall keep it, you shall live by faith. And then he says, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from this curse. There is no curse for a Christian. You know, this curse of, you know, if you lived under the law, I'll tell you how you felt. Please listen carefully. This is how you can find out whether you're living under the law. Do you always feel God is saying, you're still not good enough? Then you're definitely under the law. That's how people felt when they were under the law. Do you know the number of Christians who feel like that? Do you know the number of preachers who preach in such a way that Christians feel like that? I mean, we ourselves had some 20 years ago, preachers like that who came here, the whole burden of their message was to tell you you were not good enough. I mean, we already knew we were not good enough. Why do you, don't need to spend time to tell us that. But that's the mark of being under the law. Always the feeling, I'm not good enough. And the amazing thing is that we think we are spiritual when we feel like it. What a work the devil does. He keeps you under law and makes you think you're spiritual. On top of that, I mean, if you realize you are wrong, at least there's some hope. But if you feel like that and you think you're on the right track, then the devil's done a tremendous work. This curse, it's a curse. You know how people feel who are under a curse? They feel the thing never goes. It's like demon-possessed people. They just can't shake off that demon. And people on whom somebody's done black magic, wherever they go, everything's going wrong. The curse is something like that. You know, where you just can't be happy because you're not good enough. You try your best and make some decisions and claim something by faith and all that, and then at the end of a couple of weeks, you're still not good enough. That's the curse of the law. And I hope everybody sitting here, if you're not free from it already, will be free at least this evening. That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'll prove to you that it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you fathers and mothers will tell your children constantly, you're not good enough? Well, I hope there are no stupid fathers and mothers like that here, after all that you've heard here. Because if you say that to your children, you're grooming a rebel who, when he's 18 or 19 years old, will run away from your home and will be a useless person in society. You know, I myself have heard people have told me, 30, 40-year-old people, even in countries like the United States where they have a lot of Christianity, said, my dad used to tell me, you'll never make it. Ah, you're good for nothing. You'll be useless. Look, you can't fix that. You can't do this. You mean tell a 10-year-old boy things like that? Tell him the same thing when he's 11, 12, 13. And you know what happened? It was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. This guy got it into his head for 20 years that he'd never make it in life. He'd be a failure, he'd be useless. And he turned out to be a failure and useless. What a evil, wretched, rotten father. And what a guilt he'll have before God for training up his child like that. Train up a child the way he should go. Tell him he's useless, he's good for nothing, he'll never make it, he's still not good enough. You grow up, your son or daughter will be like that. And who made him like that? You. On the other hand, you encourage him and say, okay, you never made it, that's okay, it doesn't matter, we all make mistakes. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I tell you, you're going to make it. You've got abilities that you probably don't realize. Do you ever write something like that to your son and daughter on their birthday at least once a year. If you don't do it, I want to encourage you to do it. Every birthday that I can remember of my sons, I would always write something, if they were here in a card, if they're not here by email or something, something to praise God for in them. And I saw the result it produced. Is it that they were perfect? They never made any mistakes. I'm not perfect. So where's the question of their being perfect? We're not talking to perfect people. There are no perfect people on earth. So what I say is, and all of us are evil fathers, think of how God is. God will never say such words to any of His children. That is the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from that. Have you been redeemed from it? We not only need to be redeemed from our sins, we not only need to have our sins forgiven, we need to be redeemed. Redeemed means delivered. It's a word that pictures a slave standing on the market. Who will buy this slave? And Jesus says, I'll buy him. That's redeemed. Redeemed means bought from the slave market. Okay, here's my blood. I'll buy him. And who's holding me? Not the devil. No. Jesus didn't pay the blood to the devil. He owes nothing to the devil. The law of God. Jesus paid the price to the law of God. The law of God was the one holding me there, saying, this guy's a sinner. He's a slave. He can't be free. Jesus says, I'll purchase him. He paid the price and set me free. Now, imagine one of these, in the olden days, there used to be slaves who used to be sold in the market just like anybody else. And imagine a person who somebody paid the price and brought him home and said, hey, I'm not going to treat you like a slave. You're free here, but you can work for me if you want. I'll give you everything you need. Or you can go free and do what you like. Can you imagine a stupid slave saying, no, I think I'll go back to that old master who sold me as a slave? I can't think of a single slave who would do that. But many Christians do. And Christ has redeemed us from that law, from the curse of that wretched slave master. God's law is standard, right? I mean, it's right that I had broken the law and I was a slave, but Christ has redeemed me from that curse. Okay, how did He redeem me? By becoming a curse for me. It's almost as though He said, okay, I'll exchange places with Him. I'll stand there and let this chap go free. And so, He became a curse. I can't understand all that means. I think it means He was forsaken by God. And all that's involved in that agony on the cross. Now, after going through all that agony on the cross, imagine how disappointed Jesus is when He sees His children going back there and saying, okay, I'll try to please God by doing all these things. No, that's not the way. And now, I'll tell you this. You remember what Jesus said? When you cast out a demon out of a person, fill that empty house with something. Otherwise, that demon will go and bring seven other demons and possess that empty heart. So we should not, whenever we get rid of something which is bad, you must fill that vacant space in your heart with the opposite of that bad thing. For example, I'll tell you, if you decide, okay, from now on I'm going to stop murmuring and complaining. That's good. Think how happy your home will be if you stop murmuring and complaining. But if you don't replace that with the habit of saying thank you to God, thank you to your wife, thank you to your children. If you don't develop the habit of replacing that murmuring habit with thanking God, then the house is empty. And then it's just a matter of time before the old habit will come back again. And I think many of you have found that true to be in your life, that the old habits came back because you didn't replace it with the opposite of that. Good. So, when Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, what's the opposite of curse? You know what it is? Blessing. So we got to replace this with blessing, and that's what it says in the rest of that verse.